Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
So you now have two separate groups implicating Stuart Clegg. You have body cam footage of a guy that's doing a completely candid. He's not being charged with anything. He's just casually talking to a police officer, implicating Stuart Clegg, getting into details about the cash that they paid him, Deborah Peoples and some guy named Ruben paying him, a moped that they bought them so that he can get around better. You have social media of the guy counting homeless people back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more do you really need to open an investigation? That's all I'm asking for, right? Is an investigation.
Welcome back, my friends, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you guys had a great weekend. Earlier this morning, I sat down with Brian Lupo. He's a writer for The Gateway Pundit, also known as CanCon. You might have seen his work around. He is on Rumble. Highly suggest you follow him. But he has been covering some incredible stories that I cannot believe have not gotten national media attention. We have two different episodes today. In the first episode, we're going to be talking about newly discovered police body cam footage that absolutely 100% indicts Democrat Party officials. In my opinion, also implicates police in abdication of their duty, and certainly shows a pattern of voter and election fraud that is rampant in the Democrat Party. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we're going to be right back after this. All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of Red Pill News. Joining me today is my friend Brian, a.k.a. CanCon. Brian is not only a podcaster and a patriot, but he's also a writer for The Gateway Pundit, which was very recently revealed to be enemy number one to the United States government. Brian, they came out with an official list putting Gateway Pundit not only the most conservative news site on the internet, which is why I love them and I respect you for working there, but they are apparently the greatest enemy to democracy, the greatest enemy to this republic as far as the Biden regime is concerned. So how you doing today, man?
I'm good, Zach. Thank you so much for having me on. And that's just some craziness coming out of the government, you know.
Whoa.
And the funniest part about this is if you have you ever heard of Blind Spotter?
No, I haven't. No.
So Blind Spotter goes and takes your tweets and it kind of summarizes your political affiliations based on your tweets, right?
Okay.
And so I do this thing all the time. I'm banned on Twitter now, but I still have a screenshot of my last Blind Spotter because you know, I'll go through and like Anderson Cooper, 100% left, Jake Tapper, 100% left, you know, Chris Cuomo, 100%, you know, you get over to like Tucker Carlson and it's like 70% left, like 70% right, 30% left. Mm-hmm. You know, Laura Ingraham, same thing. But mine is like 50-50.
Weird.
Yeah, I've got like 30%. It's like 30% left, 60% right, and then like 30% middle or something like that. You know, it's fairly balanced. Obviously, I have a conservative leaning, but
sure.
Yeah, so when I'm writing for Gateway Pundit and I see something like extreme right wing, I'm like, yo, that's just where the truth is leading me.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I have to be honest, until President Trump, well, until candidate Trump, I considered myself to be a libertarian. You know, I mean, I am conservative. OK, I'm fiscally conservative. You have to be. I'm a single father. And my daughter has grown now. So it's like it's weird. I'm just a dad at this point. But, you know, I mean, I grew up as a Democrat. And throughout the years, my political, opinions began to shift to the right because I really saw what was happening in America. And by the time that Barack Obama came around and I was like, we're going to give this one more shot. Let's see what happens. And then it was quite obvious that there really was no difference between the political parties. And then Donald Trump comes along and I say, you know what, I'm ready to burn the whole thing down or just try something different. So let's go ahead and go for it. And I'm a proud Trumplican at this point.
Amen. I can 100% get behind that. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, so you were just telling me a very odd story before we begin, and I think that this ties into the introduction that I just gave. We were both at the pit in Arizona, and someone had pointed you out to me while we were in that kind of common area listening to the speakers. I didn't get a chance to meet you, so I'm glad that we were able to link up afterwards. But something really odd happened to you when you came back. Will you tell the audience what happened?
Yeah, sure. So, we came back from Arizona. I was out there by myself. So I flew back on Sunday evening. I ended up, getting stuck in Dallas for like a couple hours. I ended up getting into Fort Lauderdale, down here in Fort Lauderdale. I ended up getting in about 1 a.m. It was a Sunday night. So my wife, she bartends at a local country Western nightclub, and Sunday night's family night and there's no schools last weekend before school. So my whole family, my niece has been staying with me. She's actually from up in the Palm Coast area. She's been staying with me for the last couple weeks with her dog as well. She's got a 90-pound pit bull. And I came home 1 a.m. They all went to the bar because it was family night, the nightclub. They're all at the doing line dancing and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to just, go to bed, see my dogs and whatever. And I walk inside. My dogs, they usually go nuts. They hear the garage door open and they go nuts. They didn't do anything. I was beyond, I was like, where the hell are my dogs? Mm-hmm. So I walk in and I'm looking around, I'm calling for them. Nobody's answering. And all of a sudden I hear barking from upstairs. So I go upstairs. All three of my dogs are locked in the guest bathroom. This is a tiny little bathroom. And you're talking about a 90-pound pit bull and two 50-pound mixed breed dogs locked in a bathroom. Not at all. I've had these dogs for 6 or 7 years and the other one for, a couple of years, and this has never happened. Never before in a million years have I seen anything like this. So,
I mean, I also find it difficult to believe that, any responsible dog owner would lock their dogs, multiple dogs, in a bathroom like that for any length of time. I mean, I've got two smaller dogs. They have the run of the house and then I have a cat. And so we just separate the three of them. But to lock any one of those animals inside a bathroom, I mean, it's kind of cruel.
Yeah. And not only that, I was telling you the next morning when I woke up, I had my whole sound setup was completely and totally set back to like stock. It was like reset. That's never happened in 2 years. Never happened. No. And my whole computer was reset. The sound aspect, the podcasting part was all set back. And now I've been having problems with my camera. So when you try and go from one platform to the other, like StreamYard to Zoom to OBS, you have to close out the other one or the camera is being used. Mm-hmm. And so now with everything closed out, it's still saying my camera is being used. So, that's just a little creepy to think that, is somebody watching? Is somebody watching what I'm doing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I've got like a pretty sophisticated security system here. I've got no fewer than 8 cameras. We'll leave it there. But so I would know if anybody came up to the house or anybody tried to gain access to the house. But I have been doing interviews since 2018. So, I mean, many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of interviews. And I'll tell you what. Sometimes, I guess basically without fail, anytime it's a story that is like, top notch, one of the most important things that I can imagine, something really like revelational is about to be put out there. Something always happens with the stream and it's only at those most important times. And I believe that there is a very distinct possibility that we could be receiving some type of electronic interference or somebody's watching. And again, when you put it together with that report that came out, I think it was from DHS or somewhere within the Biden regime, putting Gateway Pundit at the top of the list of enemies of the United States government. I mean, it just becomes more and more plausible.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I had the FBI visit me already once. For January 6th, they came to my shop. I had my own business and they came to my shop, knocked on the door. They asked me by my first and last name, which immediately told me they didn't know who I was because nobody calls me by that.
Right.
And so I asked them, what took you guys so long? And, they asked if I went to the Capitol. I said, no, I went back and did a podcast and said instead. And they said, yeah, we know. We saw the podcast. And I said, then what the hell are you doing here? This is literally harassment. Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to know if you knew anybody else that might have went to the Capitol and all that. And of course, at that point, I slammed the door in their face and told them to go pound sand in not so friendly terms.
So the FBI never visited me for my presence in Washington, D.C. I was there covering it as a journalist, of course, and I did a show directly thereafter, like as soon as we left Washington and went back to our hotel. But, you know, I did go to the Capitol along with, you know, probably a million other people that day. Didn't go inside the Capitol. There's a major distinction there. But they never actually were able to find me because I don't use my real first and last name. That really surprised me. I mean, you know, all due respect to the FBI and their investigative abilities, but they were unable to locate me. But I did end up having them review my video and give me a pass. So I was able to get cleared. I've got that on tape. So anybody out there who wants to say that I was an insurrectionist, you will be hearing from my attorney again. So listen, Brian, we've got two actual majorly important topics that we're going to be discussing today. And just for the audience, we're going to be splitting them in two so it's easier for you to digest. I think I want to begin with the situation in Tarrant County, Texas, because you just a couple of months ago released some body cam footage on the Gateway Pundit, which implicates not only public officials, but also police in ballot trafficking. Tell us how you came upon this footage.
Sure. So it doesn't exactly implicate police. It was it was body cam footage from a Fort Worth police officer.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's an important distinction. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But it is funny because the Tarrant County Sheriff has now come out and said that he will not investigate this. So basically what happened is I was tipped off. Hey, you might want to check Fort Worth body cam footage, you know, open records requested at this time, blah, blah, blah. And so I did. And when I found it, I found a man named Charles Nathan Jackson, who was literally talking to a police officer. He was not in trouble or anything of the sort. He was just casually talking to him. He had ran into this police officer 4 years prior in 2016, and he had $1,000 cash on him. And the cop was like, "Hey man, you got this from something to do with voting. You might want to not do that. It's probably illegal." And so the guy, you know, they go their separate ways. In 2018, this guy Jackson is arrested for one single count of falsifying a ballot application. And he knocked on some old lady's door and said, "Hey, ma'am, do you want to vote? You know, sign up to vote," signed her up and blah, blah, blah. Ends up going to prison for it. Well, he goes to jail for it. In jail. And can I share my screen here?
Of course. Yeah. Here, okay. let me make you a co-host and you'll be able to.
Okay. Here we go. So let me play this real quick.
So they're paying you how much for each ballot?
Each time I get someone to sign, they give me something off.
Sign the absentee ballot?
Yeah. But that wasn't easy, though. Those people were 65, and the old people were 65 and older, you know. And it wasn't that easy. Like, one day I got like
$1,200
one day.
$1,200?
Yeah, like 4 hours.
How much money did you make?
You know, I did for like 6 months, man. I had gotten a room at Echo, you know. Stayed there for 6 months. Every day, every time I went, I got some magic time, you know.
So in 6 months' time, what would I want you to roughly?
I say I'd average, man, at least $900, $1,200 a week.
$1,200 a week? So would they pay you cash or what?
Cash.
So who would actually give you the cash?
Sure. Deborah gave me cash, too. Sure gave me cash. Ruben gave me cash. Then they gave me bonuses and they bought me a free moped.
Did you fill out anything or you have a number to fill out?
No, I got to fill it out while I was talking to them. And then twist around and let them sign it. Like,
so you voted everyone for them?
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, once you vote once, it's for all Democrats. They voted for everybody.
Yeah.
And they weren't intending to do that. It's kind of leading them, like.
Yeah. And were you telling them that you were doing that?
No, I was told what children told me to tell them, you know, like.
What would you tell them when you tell them that they're, I mean, like, how would you want to sign?
We just make sure we got in the system is correct, you know. And they already have information. They have a name, the kid's name, or how old it was, the birthday, their phone number. I said, "Is this information correct?" They said, "Yeah, well, sign if it's correct. You know, once you sign in, vote it." You know, like, you know what I mean?
Dang. So was that paper ballot or like on the computer?
It's both.
Both? So then.
I had paper as well.
So then you'd take it back to
Stuart.
Stuart Clegg?
Yeah.
And who else?
Deborah People. She's the district chair.
Yeah.
For Democrat Airport. Deborah People. She's the district chair for Democrat Airport.
All right. So that's the video that Kanakoa the Great was able to put together. And, you know, I asked the other night, I was sitting down with Patrick Gunnels, and I asked him, I said, "Do you know who your Democratic Party chairwoman is or chairman is?" You know, same with the Republican. And most people don't know that. But you have a homeless man here that knows not only the Democratic chairwoman of Tarrant County, but also her assistant on a first name basis. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit bizarre. And so let me keep going here. Is it still on my screen?
And Brian, if I may, when was that video recorded? Was that the video that was recorded several years ago?
Yeah, well, that was recorded on January 3rd, 2020.
Okay, so, on 2020. Okay.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, most of this is dealing with the 2016 to 2018 and other, you know, local elections in Tarrant County.
Yes.
Tarrant County is the fourth largest county in Texas and is the largest conservative district county in the United States. It is the largest conservative county in the United States. I guess you could put Maricopa up there, but so Tarrant County was, for those of you that don't know, in 2020 it went blue for the first time in 56 years. They got an election director there by the name of Hyder Garcia, who used to work for Smartmatic, was an executive for Smartmatic for 12 years in Venezuela, educated in Venezuela, and famously was called out by a congressman in the Philippines back in 2010 for fraud in the election there, for not being able to catch the fraud, is I think what the guy, his name was Loxin, Teodoro Loxin.
He's got a rich history.
Yes, he does have a rich history. But, I mean, this isn't about him. I mean, this isn't about him. This is about the Tarrant County Democratic Party and chairwoman at the time. And she's running for Tarrant County judge, which is not a judicial position. It's like a mayor, essentially. So it is the most important position in Tarrant County. It runs the entire county. So Tarrant County Democratic Party finally put out a statement, and I just want to read this statement real quick because it's unbelievably, it's laughable if it wasn't so blatantly disgusting. They said, quote, an unauthenticated video is being spread by local Republicans with wild claims, hoping to distract from an outstanding candidate, Deborah Peoples, for county judge. Republicans believe these baseless allegations against a woman of color are enough to distract from O'Hare's terrible record against raising taxes, wasteful spending, and scaremongering around critical race theory as an excuse to defund our public schools. So first, it's unauthenticated video. You know, they're going to all the Democrat playbook talking points here. Unauthenticated video. It's open records request. You guys can do it on your own. January 30th, 2020. If you watch my video, all the numbers are up there to send to Fort Worth police. Validate it yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Baseless allegations. Well, this guy was convicted of an election crime. It was falsifying a ballot application. He pleaded to that. He was supposed to get 10 years. He ended up getting 10 days time served. Now, yeah, he was supposed to get 10 years with felony enhancements, and he ends up getting 10 days time served. It gets so much worse, Zach. And we'll get to that in a second, but let me finish this statement real quick. Reading on, it says, only a couple of weeks ago, another candidate, also a woman of color, was attacked viciously online for daring to call out the blatant racism at her goddaughter's sporting event. Politics won by deception and anger produce poor results for the public when they drive away true political public servants like Deborah Peoples, Alyssa Simmons, and Lisa Pamplin, and the others wholeheartedly wanting to serve our community. Now, Zach, do you remember that story at all?
Of the woman being upset about an incident in a sporting event? No, I don't.
Okay, so this was a Duke Blue Devils BYU volleyball game.
Oh, and that one. Yeah, I knew that one.
Yes. So Lisa Pamplin, her goddaughter, was the one that alleged that she was called the N-word every time she served. The only problem is it's not on video. Nobody there. They interviewed 50 fans that were there. Nobody heard them saying this. It's insane.
It was as far as I'm concerned, it was totally debunked.
CNN debunked it. CNN debunked this. And you have the Tarrant County Democratic Party still using this as a prop up and as an excuse for what's going on here. Mm-hmm. So this is the next part of this story that gets a little bit interesting is if we scroll down here, it says Jackson had agreed to a jailhouse interview with the Star Telegram. Now, remember that paper, because they've been attacking me and Gateway Pundit lately, the Star Telegram, but was released from jail before the interview was to occur.
human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Kerr on Monday morning. This is in 2018 when he was arrested. He did not immediately return a message less firm at the homeless shelter in Fort Worth that he listed as his address. Do you know who bailed him out?
It's going to be Deborah Peoples or Clegg.
It was Stuart Clegg.
Stuart Clegg, okay.
Stuart Clegg, the executive director for the Democrat Party of Tarrant County, bailed a homeless man out of jail right before the Star-Telegram was about to interview him. And
seems
he says
legit.
Yeah, he says this in his thing right here.
I got in the room at the Echo. You know, I don't care about anything else. You have mm-hmm. yeah, you got a hospital that you're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was sick thing. You know,
mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. The Texas Rangers, did they talk to you?
Right here.
They brought me down to this investigation room or interview room. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many people in there, man. I was scared of them, man. Star-Telegram came, you know. Stuart mentioned they bombed me out real quick.
So when the Star-Telegram showed up, they got me out of there real quick. You know, because maybe back in the day, Star-Telegram actually did real journalism.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot changes in 4 years.
Well, now they're putting out hit pieces. So we have this one here that just came out. This was about a week ago. Tarrant mm-hmm. County Sheriff won't investigate voter fraud claims in the body camera footage. I'm not going to read all this, but basically the guy said because he endorsed a candidate in this race, the sheriff, he's not going to investigate this because it would be a conflict of interest. So
it seems that it's a conflict of interest for him to not investigate because he was endorsed. So, geez, oh, Pete, well, what is it with these straw man arguments?
Well, the sheriff actually endorsed the Republican. But, you know, okay. the point is like we're not talking about, you know, investigating her for a crime that had nothing to do with elections. We're investigating her for election fraud. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the implication here would be, that if you're running a ballot harvesting ring, that's election fraud. You now have a homeless man implicating him and her, both of them. You have the person being implicated bailing him out of jail, which is bizarre. Mm-hmm. You have a homeless man that knows who the Democratic Party chairwoman is, which is, again, bizarre. And even further, you know the name, first and last name of her assistant, also bizarre. Now, Kane Koa found this guy, Stuart Clegg, back in that same time frame of 2018. He was putting out on on Twitter, or maybe it was Instagram, one of the social media platforms, that he's going out to count the homeless. And he needs a group of people, volunteers, to come and help them count homeless people for, I guess, like their own little personal census.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. No idea. So let's see.
Well, so, you know, my comment about conflict of interest, the sheriff, just because he's endorsed anybody, doesn't have to do the actual investigation. I mean, I would imagine that man employs a fair number of other people that he could hand that investigation off to. The implication to me is that there is no equal justice here. I mean, I don't care that anybody was endorsed. There are people who can do the investigating to at least give it the appearance of some type of balance.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, you have to do something. I mean, figure it out. If you give it off to a district attorney, a special investigator, whatever you want to do,
yep.
you know, hand it off to somebody else, an outside agency, bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
But so they go on to say here, Deborah Peoples said last week that the Republicans were, quote, disrespecting voters by leaning on false information from an outlet famous for spreading lies to serve an extreme agenda.
That's not defamatory.
No, not at all. The Gateway Pundit spreading lies to serve. What's our extreme agenda? Election integrity?
Yeah. Saving America.
I mean,
the thing is, though, Brian, I mean, that these are what pass for extreme views in today's ultra left wing world, because we don't align with these people 100%, because we're not comfortable with the idea of our election remaining insecure and having all of these holes and opportunities for fraud in it. There is something wrong with us.
Well, and that's the gaslight right there. Mm-hmm. That's the establishment trying to gaslight the people. And hopefully, you know, through mass formation, they can get some of these Democrats to go along with this, with these shenanigans. Because I firmly feel like if you went out and asked any logical Democrat, and there still are some left.
There are.
If you went out and asked any logical Democrat and showed them that body cam footage, told them the circumstantials around the case, and said, should this be investigated before this woman is allowed to run a county of, I think, like 3 or 4 million people, should this be investigated? I think even a sound of mind Democrat would say, yes, absolutely. 100%.
No, I agree.
And here we have them, instead of investigating it, they're deflecting. They go to woman of color calling us racist. They go to unauthenticated, baseless claims, wild claims. They tout out another conspiracy that was debunked, the Lisa Pamplin story, which, by the way, Postmillennial did a great piece accumulating all of her tweets where she's calling people white mother bleepers, saying why people, WHYPIPO, talking about the one white person that married into her family and he knows better than to open his mouth. You know, like, I mean, you want to talk about blatant racism?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine marrying into a family and you being of a different race and then hearing somebody in that family saying that because you're a different race, you know to shut your mouth?
Yeah.
That must be a lovely Christmas.
He must hate himself.
So this woman here, Allison Campolo, who gave that Tarrant County speech, the press release, she goes on to say, quote, voters are ready for a candidate who run professional campaigns and don't resort to these gossip tactics while spreading wild, unsupported claims. We are glad to see the sheriff's office agrees. The sheriff doesn't agree. Mm-hmm. He just said there's a conflict of interest and he can't investigate it because it'd be a conflict of interest. Never anywhere has he said he agrees that these are wild, baseless claims. Anywhere.
It's interesting that in this one instance of police body cam footage, they're not comfortable with it being used to produce some type of investigation, where quite often police body cam footage is used to indict police officers and to make up wild claims against them.
So would it be crazy if I told you that there was another election fraud case that is being prosecuted completely separate and totally irrelevant from Charles Nathan Jackson's case? It involves the woman Leticia Sanchez, who they showed in that, in Kane Coa showed in that video. They also implicated Stuart Clegg as being the person financing all this, you know, funding all this, an accomplice in all of this. So you now have two separate groups implicating Stuart Clegg. You have body cam footage of a guy that's doing a completely candid. He's not being charged with anything. He's just casually talking to a police officer, implicating Stuart Clegg, getting into details about the cash that they paid him, Deborah Peoples and some guy named Ruben paying him, a moped that they bought them so that he can get around better. You have social media of the guy counting homeless people back then. I mean, what more do you really need to open an investigation? That's all I'm asking for, is an investigation. And you can't even get that.
What is it they say? Once is coincidence, twice is happenstance, three times is a pattern. Do we have any other instances of Stuart Clegg having any activity regarding election crimes?
Well, not regarding election crimes, but his campaign finance and donations are beyond bizarre. Again, you know, that's something that we're working on as well right now. But there is another circumstance that was a little bit bizarre. So Deborah Peoples, after this happened, Deborah Peoples in 2021 ran for mayor of Fort Worth, and she lost. She lost in a runoff. Now, in 2017 and 2019, there were about 34,000 voters in the Fort Worth mayoral race. How many do you think there were in 2021 in a runoff, which is statistically a lesser turnout than the initial primary? How many do you think turned out for the 2021 mayoral runoff?
Probably more than 100%. I would bet that there would probably be an increase of voters in the runoff.
It would be about 230%. 81,000 people turned out.
Or, I'm sorry, 87,000.
87,000. Wow. I don't know what happened, because at this point, you know, the four women are in prison for ballot fraud or for election issues. Charles Jackson was in, you know, he did his time at that point. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if I don't know what happened to see a 230% turnout in 2021. Now, there is one thing that did happen that might explain a little bit of this. What happened between 2019 and 2021 with ballots? there was universal mail-in balloting. Absolutely. After COVID.
Yep.
There was, it was way easier to get access to mail-in ballots. And what does that do? That would not, I'm sorry, that does not increase the voter turnout by 230%. We did not see any turnout anywhere of 230% increase for the presidential in 2020.
No.
Nowhere.
I mean, you can also look at the presence of the former Smartmatic employee and his past actions in regards to elections. But certainly the introduction of universal mail-in balloting is just a major red flag. What about the use of Eric? Was Eric in play down there in Texas?
I don't know about Eric down there. We haven't gotten too much into that. As you know, I'm a pretty big not an advocate. What would it be if I'm championing against it? I'm not a fan of David Becker and Eric. Absolutely. And the TEIR and the EOLDN. All the organizations affiliated with that man just tend to stink. So I don't know specifically if Eric had any play down there.
Well, regardless of the use of Eric specifically, I mean, the Democrats seem to have a pretty good grasp on the qualified voter list and who is out there getting ready to cast a ballot, who hasn't cast a ballot, who maybe perhaps lived in the area at one time in the past and moved away. They are masters at manipulation of these voter lists and how to best use them to their advantage in the turnout.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and as we're starting to find out more and more, some of these electronic voting machines actually have access to the voter rolls through their own system. I think it was the Hart InterCivic machine, I believe, that is able to access the voter rolls in real time. One of the other stories I was talking about earlier was the CEIR, which is David Becker's organization that got $69 million in Zuckerbucks, giving $12 million to the state of Michigan. But instead of giving it to Jocelyn Benson as Secretary of State, she gave it to Jocelyn Benson as the former president of the Michigan Center for Election Law and Administration, a 501c3 nonprofit. So they got $12 million, which is infinitely more than they've ever gotten in their 10 years of existence. They've never even filed a Form 990 because they didn't make over $50,000. Mm. And now all of a sudden they get $12 million. Now that money, Benson is no longer the president of that. She was until 2019. But that money goes to two organizations called Waterford Strategies and Alper Strategies, $9 million to Waterford and I think like $2.5 million to Alper Strategies. Those are two well-known Democrat strategist groups. So, you know, you have a pass-through here where CEIR passes the money through the MCELA, ends up going to two Democrat operative groups that I'm sure they were very equal to Republicans in their donations and their grants that they gave to Michigan. I'm sure it didn't skew one way. No way.
No, absolutely not. You know, Jocelyn Benson is one of the most corrupt state officials that I've seen in recent memory. So it wouldn't surprise me if that money was directly tied to some nefarious activities. You know, I want to go back to my earlier statement about implicating the police in Tarrant County and implicating the sheriff's department. I mean, I have to say, as far as I'm concerned, I think a lot of people would agree when police departments and law enforcement agencies start selectively choosing what laws they're going to enforce and what laws they're not going to enforce. I mean, I feel like that is an indictment of their process and on their trustworthiness. I mean, the people of America are highly interested in ensuring the security of our elections. I mean, 2020 really galvanized that for so many people in a number of really concrete ways. I think a really large portion of the population, even prior to 2020, was focused on that as an issue. But now it is the issue. We must have secure elections. And if we don't see something change here in November, then I don't know that we're ever really going to get the opportunity to do it again in the future. Well, what's your feelings about the midterms coming up here next month?
Well, I've been a huge I've been one of the people that's been saying that I think the midterms, I do think there will be a red wave. I do think that the Republicans are going to win. However, what I've been a proponent of and what I've been trying to raise awareness to was the corruption that we saw in the primaries. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we have the candidates that the America First, the MAGA MAGA Republicans. I don't think we had those candidates win the way they should have. You look at Georgia, Brad Raffensperger never drops below 50%, the threshold for a runoff there, despite his polling. The highest he ever polled was 38%. Mm-hmm. And then on election night, he never drops below 50%. Same with if you look at Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp never polled higher than 60%, but he gets 72% on election night. That doesn't make sense to me. You go out to Colorado, where you have Jenna Griswold, you know, Secretary of State out there. You have Tina Peters, the clerk from Mesa County that we all know from the symposium and all that. She out fundraised Pam Anderson like 2-1, mm-hmm. you know, with more donors and more money. Okay. More donors, more money. So smaller donations, grassroots. She actually went to the assembly out there and won 65% of the vote in the assembly. Her opponent, Pam Anderson, got on the ballot by signatures. Mm-hmm. All right. She got on that. She didn't go to the assembly. She would have gotten her butt kicked at the assembly where people actually have a say. So, you know, what you see out there, El Paso, obviously there's a lawsuit going on to do a hand recount for the recount that they got. One of the things that just blows my mind about Tina Peters and Pam Anderson out there is Pam Anderson is the former chairman of the board for the CTCL. Mm-hmm. Center for Tech and Civic Life. Yep. So you're telling me that Colorado Republicans, remember, this is Republicans. If this was the overall, if it was Pam Anderson versus Tina Peters in the overall general election, this might hold water. But in the Republican primary, you're telling me that the Republican Party of Colorado chose the CTCL Zuckerbucks chairman over an America First candidate, Trump endorsed, that is fighting for election integrity. No way. Yeah. No way.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. You know, certainly in some of the worst offenders that we saw in 2020, obviously Georgia, Colorado, particularly egregious, wasn't even just Tina, but a whole slate of America First candidates that were all leading in the polls. By all rights, they should have won. But it's very clear that there was massive, massive irregularities happening there in Colorado. And I'm hoping that the case, when it gets to the Supreme Court, then finally they're going to be able to get the justice they deserve. But also in Michigan. I mean, they had to call the FBI in Michigan. Some of their favorite investigative teams came in and brought charges against people in order to pull them off the ballots. I mean, it just goes to show you the only way that they can win is by cheating. I mean, if we had a secure election system, none of these candidates would even be elevated at all.
Yep. And they're going to try and do it again. They just brought in a special prosecutor to go after Matt DiPerno and the team that was working on the Bill Bailey Antrim County case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously we got to keep those guys in our prayers. Okay. So was there anything that we missed in this Tarrant County case before we move on to the next section?
No, I don't think so. You know, I just think it's something that the people need to get active on. You know, people need to be calling their elected representatives, their sheriffs, and telling them that you need this investigated. This is, I mean, after seeing what Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips disclosed in 2000 Mules, and you literally are watching 2000 Mules right mm-hmm. here. Now, again, keep in mind, then this video is available if you want to watch. We watched 2 minutes of it. I have an 11-minute video up on my Rumble, rumble.com/cancon. But in that 11 minutes, I mean, it's damning, and for it not to be investigated is I mean it's at this point, where's the Constitution? Where's my redress of grievances? You know, I've got a major discrepancy here against a candidate for office, a very important office, which, by the way, Charles Jackson says at one point that for 11 years every candidate that Deborah Peoples helped campaign for won. Now, I don't know if that's exactly true, but she has a very good track record of winning elections in Tarrant County. So,
yeah, it seems like she's got that formula down pat, as they always do. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us for this episode, Brian. Everybody at home, make sure that you are following CanCon on Rumble. You've got a Telegram, I would assume, Truth Social.
Truth Social. I'm CanCon on everything, CanCon. And I write for the Gateway Pundit under Brian Lupo.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much once again for being here. Everybody at home, we'll see you in the next episode. Good luck and God bless.